We're dealing with the providence of God. The providence of God is a marvelous thing. The very reason you're alive and where you are tonight is the providence of God. When we get to thinking about the providence of God, we have to think behind us as well as in front of us. And to think behind us, we begin to realize just how God had to work miracle after miracle in order for you to be where you are tonight. Yes, now think about what I just said to you. In God's schedule, you were scheduled to be in this building tonight. Yes. Now, what had to happen for you to be where you are tonight? That means your mom and dad had to be protected. You've had to be protected up till this hour, but your mom and dad had to be protected. Amen. Then your grandparents and your great-grandparents and your great-great-grandparents, and right on, hey, you start to get into that sometime, honey. I'll tell you right now, I sat down one day in my office, and I just started marking and doing the math and coming up with the numbers. And I started shouting. My secretary opened the door, looked in, and said, "You still all right?" I said, "Yeah." "Leave the door open." I shouted another 30 minutes. I'm telling you, when you start realizing what God has done to bring you to where you are, I mean, it strips a gear up there. How many arrows had to be stopped? How many snakes couldn't bite? How many lions wouldn't jump on them? How many battles did they go through? How many sicknesses didn't take them away? How many times the devil tried to destroy what God was going to do tonight, but he failed again? Say amen right there. Hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter number 1, when a Baptist preacher opens Ephesians chapter number 1, Free Will Baptists run, Methodists die, and the rest of the crowd just tried to hide somewhere. Amen. But here in chapter number 1, Paul gives us some information that all of us need to take to heart. It'd be tough not to know these verses. I'm telling you it would. I'm just going to go ahead and start at verse number 1. Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. How? By the will of God. To the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's us. Yeah. Amen. It's not only written to the church at Ephesus, it's written to us. Yes. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. When did God choose you? Before he ever laid the mud seals of this old world. Amen. Before the foundation of the world. Amen. Can you imagine a God that before the centuries ever began chose you and chose me to be his own? It makes me sick to hear people take credit for being saved. Thank God for his own presence and his own power. And the fact that he, before the worlds began, chose us in Christ. What a marvelous statement. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I got to say this. Listen. When your name was put in the book, God pronounced you holy right there. Amen. And that holiness carries right on through eternity. Now, wait a minute. You didn't even know Jesus then. No, but God knew you was going to. And all that was fixed before you ever came on the scene. Boy, if you don't think that, higher lips, Baptist people. Some of you folks must not be Baptist. You must be Bible believers.
Amen.
First of all, Bible believers, then Baptist somewhere else down the road. Another word that'll tear up another Baptist. Look at this. Having predestinated, that is past tense, predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will.
Amen.
Boy, I'm so glad I got there and got in. You got in because God had already fixed it before you got there. You was kind of on a mudslide. You was going to get there.
Amen.
Because God had already fixed it so you could get there. Oh, my soul. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through the blood, through his blood. We sang about that. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed. Where? In himself. That's twice we've come across that statement. He did it. It's he and he alone. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, and whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, that word there again.
Amen.
It's past tense. How many of you ever went to an English class? ED means past tense.
Yes.
That's twice we've seen the word predestinated, past tense, already done, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of whose will? His own will. Isn't that something? That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth. Remember the preacher this morning? The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Glory. Which is the earnest. That word earnest is down payment. The Holy Ghost is a down payment. Isn't that great?
Yes.
God has given us the down payment.
Yes.
You're getting this. Given us the down payment. And God will not fail on the debt.
No.
Say amen right there. God will not come short. The payment will be made. It's already been made 2,000 years ago. And God's satisfied with that payment.
Amen.
So the down payment, the earnest of our inheritance under the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. Wherefore, I also, after I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers.
Amen.
Lord, help us tonight. What a marvelous subject. And how weak and frail we are to try to handle what's before us.
Amen.
My God, help me by your grace.
Amen.
To handle it properly. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you and be seated. The providence of God in the salvation of the soul. It is the eternal purpose of God to save his people from
Amen.
Their sins. A lot of folks get the idea that it only started at Calvary, not so. It is the eternal purpose of God to save his people from their sin. Now, if it's an eternal purpose, that means it's been going on all the time, right? ever since man's been on the face of the earth. And even before that, our names were in the book.
Yes.
But when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, now you're going to need to stay with me for a moment here. When God put Adam and Eve in the garden and gave them a perfect environment in which to live, they failed. You'd think that we could learn from that. How many times has the government put people in a good environment, probably not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but nonetheless a good environment, hoping that that had changed them? Well, it never has worked.
Amen.
It didn't work here. It won't work there. It's just not the way it's done. Man is wicked in his heart,
Amen.
Wicked from birth. He is a sinner and must be saved if he goes to heaven. Every good little boy and good little girl is a sinner. I've told you this story. Let me remind you again. I stood at the window, the nursery, at St. Luke's Hospital in Jacksonville, Florida. Not just one time, many a time. And the other hospitals as well. But on this one occasion, the grandmother was standing beside me and we were looking through the window and she said, "Isn't that a precious little darling?" I said, "Let's not forget that that precious little darling is a sinner."
Amen.
And must be saved in order to go to heaven.
Amen.
You see, we look at the beauty of the child and we think how sweet they are. They could never do anything wrong. But the beauty of that child will fade. Hello.
Amen.
And the sweetness of that child will fade. And that child will grow up, and as a sinner, he'll do anything he can get by with.
Amen.
And some things he can't get by with.
Amen.
That's why we have prisons. That's why we have the electric chair in Florida, anyway. Now all those things are too cruel. A man can go out there and slice up an individual, put them in garbage bags, and send them in every garbage dump in the country. And then when it comes time to try them, oh, we don't want to be too cruel to them.
That's right.
I made a statement in the Florida legislature years ago, and I said these words: the individual who is obviously guilty of murder should die the day the burial takes place of his victim.
Amen.
That's the way it ought to be done. You see, we put them up and take care of them for years and years and years and years and years. The fact is that men are sinners. Now, that includes you girls as well. Hello. A lot of times the reason men are sinners is because of the girls.
Amen.
A lot of times girls are sinners because of the men.
Amen.
So we're all sinners.
Amen.
Every last one of us. But if you belong to God, if your name has been in the book, since before the foundation of the world, that is more than a week ago, back yonder. But the fact is that Adam was a sinner.
Amen.
He sinned. He left the garden a sinner. He left the garden a rebel.
Yes, he did.
Now, how do I know that? Because God put a flaming sword at the entrance to the garden to keep him from coming back. You see, God knew when he got out there and had to earn his living by the sweat of his brow, and he got to thinking about all that was back there in the garden, he'd try to get back.
Amen.
Why would he do that? Because he's still a rebel. I'm going to throw something at you that I threw at our seniors in seminary. I didn't do this to the early boys. I let them hang around a while before I said this to them. But I'm going to say it to you tonight, and I want you to see if you can prove me wrong.
Amen.
There's not one place in the Bible that you can find that Adam ever repented. And let me tell you one more little darling thing. How many ever heard this preaching that God had to slay an animal, an innocent animal, and shed its blood in order for an Adam need be saved and clothed? You've heard that preaching. Don't act like you haven't heard it.
Amen.
Show me that in the Bible. Show me a hint of that in the Bible. See, what I'm doing is helping you. Some of you don't understand that I'm helping you. I'm helping you to understand that this book is right and men's thoughts and ideas and their content added to destroys the truth of the Word of God. Adam left the garden a rebel. God barred the barred the door of the garden so he couldn't get back in because he was a rebel. Adam's a sinner. Adam's offsprings are sinners, right?
Right.
Every last one of us are sinners.
Amen.
Let me give you this. Get a hold of this. I've dealt with building aircraft especially through the years. And there's one thing that is inherent. If there is a weak place in the airplane, the prototype, then if you follow the same pattern, everyone that's built like that is going to have the same weakness.
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Adam left the garden a sinner. We are offsprings of Adam. Adam is a prototype. Adam failed. That prototype, everyone after him is going to fail. Everyone who has Adam for a daddy is going to fail. Now, there's only one that didn't have Adam for a daddy. Guess who that was? The Lord Jesus Christ. And so the last Adam, now remember, the first Adam sinned and lost everything that God had given him. The last Adam did not sin and died to pay the price for our sin so we could have back what Adam lost. Plus. And I'll tell you what that is when we get there. Because I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither did in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. So let's wait on that. But I know that it's got to be good. Kind of like a tongue-tied preacher said one time. He said it just tweeter and tweeter and tweeter and someday it's going to turn to tugger. Well, that's the way it is with the saint's life. It gets sweeter and sweeter. And someday, hallelujah, someday,
amen,
we're going to be able to enter into that precious thing that God has prepared for us. But the only way we get there is to be saved.
Amen.
So in the providence of God, that eternal purpose of God, in the providence of God, God brings you to conviction. Where and how? All of us have a different story. No two of us would have the same story as to how God began the process of redemption in our lives. God begins by regeneration. Every soul must be regenerated. Every soul whom God saved. Another thing, regeneration and salvation are not the same. They're not spelled the same. They're not pronounced the same. They don't look the same on paper. They are not the same. Two things that are different are not the same. So regeneration and salvation are not the same. Though, in order to be saved, you must be regenerated.
Amen.
Regeneration is the act of the Holy Ghost coming to where you are, opening your eyes, causing you to hear, causing your heart to feel. That's what we call conviction.
Amen.
When the Holy Ghost comes and begins that process of regeneration, salvation is not an instant thing. It is a process whereby regeneration, God causes you to understand that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. And when God causes you to see that you're a sinner in need of a Savior and then puts that want to in your heart to be saved, guess what? Regeneration is over and now salvation takes place. And God saves you and births you into the household of faith, and from that point on you are His child. Experientially.
Yes.
I say experientially because you were his child even before God saved you.
Amen.
Now, I don't have time to get into that. We'll talk about that another day. That'll take a while. But the fact is that God knew you before you were ever birthed. God knew your granny. Yes. And God knew your grandpa and your way back yonders. All of your forefathers.
Yes.
But all of those folks behind us, God knew them all.
Amen.
And God in his providence worked things out in their lives in order to bring you to where you are tonight. But the important thing is that he did all of that to bring you to where he saved you by his grace.
Yes.
It's been so long, I can't remember the conflicts, but there had to be conflicts. Somewhere there had to be a conflict that God overcame to get you to the place where God saved you.
Amen.
You see, it's not just the date, it's the place.
Sure.
God gets you to the place on the right time, in time.
Yes.
And it's all God.
Amen.
Nothing can stop God from performing the work that he sets out to do.
Amen.
I like to think of it like this. This is a tremendous example. You remember Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan, who was the son of Saul, the king. Jonathan and David had made a covenant before Jonathan died that they would take care of each other's family if one of them died. And Jonathan and his daddy and his brothers died in a war with the Philistines. And David becomes king. Well, a while after David is king, he's thinking one day and he thinks of Jonathan and he calls his men together and says, "Is there any of the seed of Jonathan that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And they said, "Yeah, there's one, and his name is Mephibosheth. And he lives in Lodabar, the city of no bread, the city of no light, and in the house of Machar." David said, "Go get him." Now this is the king speaking. This is an order from the king.
Yeah.
I hope you'll get a hold of it. And Ziba takes the king's chariot, the king's horses, and goes to get Mephibosheth. Now Mephibosheth is a peculiar individual. Not only is he an enemy to the king because of the kingship prior, but he is lame on both his feet. That happened when news came that Jonathan and Saul and others had died in war. And the nurse grabbed him and ran with him and fell and broke his feet. So he grows up. Now he's a man, by the way, has children at this time. He grows up a cripple, lame on both his feet. That's how the Bible describes him, lame on both his feet. That means he is incapable of getting along by himself.
Right.
You getting the picture?
Amen.
How helpless this boy was. But yet, the king was going to do him good. And he was going to do him good for Jonathan's sake, who had died.
Yes.
Are you catching it?
Yes.
I hope I don't have to explain all this to you. And so, Ziba goes. And I can see it now. He knocks on the door. Now remember who this is. He just came from the king. He's dressed in royal garb.
Yes.
Are you understanding that?
Yes.
I mean, he's dressed to do the job he came to do. It's kind of like the sheriff came to our house one day when we were still boys. And they had a warrant for my daddy. Dad had a parking ticket. And Jar Stout told him, said, "Oh, don't worry about it, I'll take care of it." He was the constable. And Jar didn't take care of it. So the sheriff's deputy shows up with a warrant for the arrest of my daddy. And Dad said, "I'll be down after a while to pay for it." He said, "Oh, no, sir. No, sir, you don't understand." He said, this warrant says, you go with me dead or alive. Daddy said, I think I'll go with you. That's kind of a shock, isn't it? Huh? Now watch this. When this boy winds up down there at the house of Makar in Lodebar, he is there with a warrant for Mephibosheth. The king said, go get him. Now what's he going to do? He's going to get him. I don't know how Mephibosheth must have felt, but my soul, you know good and well, he had to be scared, frightened, fearful for his life.
Amen.
Because the king has sent for him. He's an enemy. He's classed as an enemy to the king. And the king sent for him. You see the situation? Let me just interject something right here. Any man, woman, boy, or girl that has ever been under Holy Ghost conviction, there is fear in your heart.
Amen.
Because you just realized you're a sinner and you're going to hell if God doesn't save you. If you say you got in the household of faith without that fear in your heart, there's something bad wrong with your experience. Fearfully, no doubt, he opens that door and looks in the face of the messenger from the king. And he said, are you Mephibosheth? Can't you just hear? Yes, sir. Come with me. Oh, listen, I'm telling you, I feel this. Here's this boy that can't do anything to defend himself. He knows he's an enemy to the king, but he doesn't know about the covenant. But he's about to find out about the covenant.
Amen.
And so Mephibosheth is brought to the king. Now, hey, on the way there, remember what I told you about regeneration? On the way there, he's wondering, what am I going to say? And when the king says, art thou Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth said, yes. But he admits that he is a dead dog. Calls himself a dead dog. And says, why am I? What am I doing here? And the king said, well, I'm going to tell you. There was a covenant made between me and your daddy some years ago. And he said, I'm going to fulfill that covenant. And from now on, you're going to eat at my table. Woo! Did you hear that? From now on, you're going to eat at my table. You'll live by my fare. I'll take care of you for Jonathan's sake. Now, that whole story is a picture of salvation. See, God's given us glorious panoramic views of salvation throughout the Old Testament.
Yes.
But here is one of the plainest to be found. Mephibosheth now takes his meals at the king's table. Now he lives at the king's fare. Now the king watches over him, and he gives Mephibosheth all the land that belongs to Saul and gives him servants to do what needs to be done to the land. Oh, hallelujah. Mephibosheth sat at the king's table. And when you're sitting at the table, your feet are under the table. The conversation goes as conversations go. But no one ever says anything about Mephibosheth's feet. You know why? Because they're hid by the king's table. They're not interested in the weaknesses because every last one of them does not deserve to be there. They're all there in one manner or the other because of the same reason Mephibosheth is there. And they're not talking about the weaknesses of everybody around the table.
Amen.
No, they're talking about the food, and they're talking about the king, and talking about why I'm here.
Hey.
Whew, salvation is the greatest thing that ever happened to you.
Amen.
And it's all in the providence of God that brought us to the place and brought us to the hour that was planned before the foundation of the world where God saved you by His marvelous
Amen.
Grace.
Amen.
Hey, nothing could stop that from happening.
Amen.
Are you hearing me?
Amen.
You see, Mephibosheth would have been an outcast. That's why he's in Lodabar. He is an outcast. His feet are broken. He can't get along. So he's an outcast. But not so. Not so. Because there was a covenant made. And you may count yourself as an outcast. But if you're a child of God,
Amen.
There was a covenant. Long before God made worlds, God in heaven. Shout it out, sister. Hallelujah. If that bothers you, let it bother you. Well, hallelujah. That ought to make all of us shout. No one looks on the weaknesses. Everyone is there because of the mercy of the King. The covenant. Before God made world, Jesus Christ said, I'll pay the price.
Amen.
God said, I'm going to create a world.
Amen.
I'm going to put people on it. They're going to sin. And they're going to need a redeemer.
Amen.
And Jesus said, I'll redeem her.
Amen.
I'll pay the price.
Yes, sir.
I'll bleed and die for their sins.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost said, tell you what I'll do. I'll make sure they hear about it. And I'll be the arresting officer. When God's Holy Ghost comes on the scene, I hear folks talking about, oh, you can resist him. You can resist. Hey, look at here. Look at here. Hey, do you see that fellow at the door? What's Mephibosheth going to do but say, I'll go. And when the Holy Ghost begins to deal with your heart and comes with that arrest warrant, you're going. You're going to holler calf rope. You're going to throw up your hand and say, glory to God, I surrender.
Amen.
Ready to give it up.
Amen.
And give it all.
Amen.
To the Lord.
Yes.
All in the providence of God. Now tell me you understand that.
Amen.
I've been up here for what, 45 minutes talking about it. You know how much I know about it? Maybe a thimbleful. But I'm keenly aware that the book's right. And I'm keenly aware that God's right. And I'm keenly aware that God in His providence saves sinners.
Amen.
Of whom I am one. Paul said, of whom I'm chief. But I'm going to say, of whom I am one. Thank God.
Yes.
And I'm not ashamed to declare I'm a child
Amen.
Of the King.
Yes.
By God's providence. Let's stand with our heads bowed just a moment.